Well, hello again. Welcome to the Gooder Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Frike. As partner and CMO of Retail Voodoo, an award-winning branding agency, I have met and worked with some of the most amazing women in the naturals industry, food, beverage, wellness, fitness. And as such, I created the Gooder Podcast to interview these great people and subject matter experts and have them share their insights and expertise to help businesses all around the world become gooder. I'm really very excited today to introduce my guest, Pratit Spencer, who is co-founder of IO Foods, correct? Is it IO?
Yep, it's IO. Thank you so much for having me, Diane. It's so great to be here. We love what you're doing at Gooder.
Oh my goodness. Well, a little bit about Pratit. She and her husband created a new brand, kind of seeking to build a more inclusive food system that reflected her experience growing up in a Liberian family. They launched the IO brand last summer with the vision of creating a platform brand that celebrated ingredients and flavors in the culture of West Africa, African diaspora. You'll have to tell me, that's a big word for me. You'll have to tell me a little bit more about what that is. Prior to launching IO, Pratit held brand, sales, and consulting leadership roles at Lego, General Mills, and most recently Spins. When she's not actively working on her brand, you can find Pratit spending time in the kitchen, of course, with her two girls, or advancing issues of food equity through her involvement in the Food Recovery Network, a nonprofit focused on eliminating food insecurity through food waste recovery. Well, welcome, Ms. Pratit. How is Chicago today?
Oh man, it's actually a beautiful day in Chicago. We've had a few days now of like slick ice and really, really right. Cold weather. And we finally got 50s today, so it's beautiful. I hope an indicator of like lots of good things to come.
We had a little bit of that in Seattle too, where it literally just a week and a half ago, we had almost 2 feet of snow with 24 hours, which is abnormal for the Seattle metro area. And then in 3 days, it was 50 degrees and the kids were walking around like in tank tops because the swing in temperature was like, the body was like, what is happening here? So, yes. But I think that's a little Chicago-ish to have those kinds of swings, if I remember correctly.
A little Chicago-ish, and you know, I guess grateful we're here versus yeah. Texas, you know, on a day like today. And yeah. Thoughts go out to all those folks too. And
yes.
Hopefully they're right? hanging in there. Yes.
Oh, dear. Well, let's talk a little bit about why we're here today. First of all, thrilled to be talking to you about African food in the U.S. market, right? So before we dive into kind of like the business of it, can you share a little bit about IO Foods? You know, why did you create it? Why does it exist outside of just making the product? What does it stand for?
Yes, it's such a good question. So IO actually means joy in Yoruba. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've worked in the industry a really long time, but as I walked up and down the aisles of many, many stores, I never saw products that really look like what I grew up eating growing up in a Liberian family. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. you know, as I looked at kind of this changing market landscape with more and more interest in kind of bold, unique flavors, it felt like the right time to explore bringing a bit more of my experience to the aisle. And yeah. so, you know, for us, food has never been just about getting something kind of down your throat, but really right. About the emotions that are created at the dinner table as yeah. we're connected with friends and family.
Yeah.
And for us, you know, our home is often the epicenter of family gatherings, et cetera. And so as we talked about kind of what was next for us, it felt so fitting to bring a bit of ourselves to the aisle mm-hmm. really in celebration of these incredible moments that we always experience with mm-hmm. food being a central part of all of them.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. And I've been talking about this not only internally within our studio, but then also with brands. This health and wellness category kind of got really, really narrow about features and benefits, and it kind of turned a bit sterile or medicinal. And really, when you think about it, everybody has a favorite, anything in their life, there's some sort of food or beverage associated with it, you know? You get together, you give gifts of food. Anytime somebody comes over, you're offering food or beverage. And so I love this, like, let's kind of bring back the joy, quite literally, eating healthier food, right? As part of a staple. It doesn't have to be a special occasion. It could be dinner. It could just be dinner. So talk about that a little bit more. I'm more familiar with North African foods because that's a little bit more visible and prevalent, at least in the Northwest. We start talking about Sub-Saharan, West, and Southern African cuisine. Always interested in learning it because I'm a little bit of a foodie, but I don't really know what to expect. So can you share a little bit? Like, what is West African food? What can somebody expect from spices and ingredients and flavors?
Yeah, it's interesting because in a lot of ways you can say, what is it not, right? Yeah. Because, I think one thing that's important to know, like when we launch IO is, you know, my family's from Liberia, but we're really representing a region of 17 countries.
Wow.
You know, all with their own unique traditions and flavors. Mm-hmm. And so for us, we think of IO as really a bit of exploration through West Africa, using kind of food as our guide. But, you know, I think what's pretty consistent, and it's also been fun to see even similar dishes called different names in different countries, right? So we just launched a new item this week called Puff Puff, which is essentially a yeast-based bread that gets deep fried and can be served. Yes, it's delicious. It's like powdered sugar. You can put pepper sauce on it, but it's called about five different things depending on the country you're in, right? And so I think what we are really trying to do with IO is bring some of our favorites to life and really start that discussion. But I think what is pretty consistent across everything that you'll find is really bold flavors, really unique ingredients, and so that are really produce forward, right? And and you know, I think a common theme is like using the full value of the produce. And so, like, you think one of our dishes is called cassava leaf, and folks know cassava or yucca root. That's a common thing in flours. It's chopped and fried, but we're actually using the leaves of that root that often go and used in other countries, right? And so there's a resilience and a resourcefulness that I think is common across that diaspora of like using what you have to create something really delicious. But you tend to see bolder flavors. There's a lot of like stews or slower cooking. And then it's really just like taking the best of what you have and making something really delicious out of that.
Well, that's I was doing a little bit of interesting and it was, or a little bit of interesting, a little bit of research on West African cuisine or culture, food culture. And I noticed, I didn't probably no surprise, a really heavy influence from, of course, many European countries, mostly those that were out on ships, so the Spaniards and the Spaniards and the Portuguese, and so there's little bits and here and there kind of impacting the flavor profile. But I love hearing this because I think there's a lot of countries, not like the U.S., but like if you go to Central or Southern America or Mexico, where you're going to, depending on the region, see the same recipe made different, sometimes quite different, but also incorporating the whole food. This kind of like the idea of reducing waste, food waste, is built in to the food culture. That's just, there's no such thing as food waste. My parents were immigrants and we were the same way. You know, mom, of course we're going to, there's some stuff that I am not going to share that I ate as a kid, but that's what you did when your parents grew up on a farm. You eat a lot of stuff growing up. So but I love that we're talking about African food because I really think that the market has been ready for it for a while. Yeah. And I guess I wanted to say, you know, trying to kind of make something that doesn't exist yet. You know, we're talking about this, your experience with spins, right? So we know as marketers, we're always looking for data. Brand marketers, we're looking for data. We work closely with spins to kind of, where's the white space? But you can't find white space because you have to kind of look in between data, so to speak, to find that white space. Now, you've worked for General Mills and spins, and I think that, well, I should probably let you answer this. Was it hard to wear your research expertise hat and creating this passion brand at the same time and starting from scratch?
Yes and no, I'll say. And what I mean by yes and no is, while there was not data that said, you know, West African is going to be the next place to go, right? Yes. There are market indicators. And so, you know, one of the things I used to always talk to brands about is, like, you have to mine the data to, like, uncover the story that helps support your brand. And, like, the answers are never always in the data, right? Right. Like, the data tells part of the story, but there is always, if you think of, like, the data as the head and the heart, like, you always have to kind of bring some of the heart.
Yeah.
I think in the case of IO, we just had to bring probably a little bit more heart. But there were good kind of head indicators that okay. we got from the data, you know? So while we didn't see West African bubbling up, we certainly saw the emergence of a lot of different kind of international flavors and flair mm-hmm. that were percolating. Mm-hmm. Even some of the ingredients were starting to percolate, like some of the greens, some of the cassava roots that were all indicators that now might be an interesting time, mm-hmm. Even if the data didn't point us directly there. And so mm-hmm. I think part of it was being comfortable that the data that we had told enough of a story.
Yeah.
And then certainly leaning into partners who could get there with us, right? Yeah. And so, you know, we're a young brand, and so mm-hmm. you know, there's still many folks who are like, I don't know if my customers will like this. And, right, you know, that's right. okay. I think, yeah. you know, creating a new platform is not easy. So my husband and I always joke that, you know, we're doing it the hard way, you know, and that we're creating a new space. But, yeah. you know, we're so grateful that we've had some tremendous, like, retail partners who have jumped yeah. on because they can see the vision and they can see the tea leaves in the market and other places. Yeah. And so I think we used what we had. And then, you know, beyond kind of what's happening in retail, we saw some interesting things happening in the restaurant space, which is another mm-hmm. great indicator. And so I think you just have to use all those data points to really point you in the right direction, but then lean into the heart a little bit too.
I think you have a really great opportunity because you've come from the world of data, and so there's probably quite a bit of intuitiveness that you already have, even if you didn't have access to what we would call traditional research like a SPINS or an IRI or et cetera, Nielsen, et cetera, et cetera. So it doesn't sound like there was necessarily, well, maybe there was. Is there kind of any kind of emotional consternation moving forward, or are you and your husband a little bit more like, well, the data and, you know, we're feeling pretty good about this? Or were there any in the beginnings, were there any hiccups or any fears or feedback that was maybe making you a little bit nervous and telling your gut different things than maybe you wanted to hear?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're on this journey real time, right? And so I think we're learning as we go.
Yeah.
We launched July 15th, which Ooh, is girl. Like right in the middle of the pandemic. And mm-hmm. so I think we're learning as we go and mm-hmm. kind of applying those learnings kind of real time. So, yeah. You know, Rome was not built in a day. And so we're not expecting that the IO empire will be either. But I think we are taking good nuggets that we're learning along the way.
Yeah.
And even as you think, we've got innovation coming out this year. And I think one of our key insights was There are some really unique special things about just even the preparation. So you asked earlier, like, what is unique? A lot of it is like this slow cooking style.
Yeah.
To get those like really unique layered flavors. And so I think you'll see from some of our innovation coming out, like perhaps slightly more approachable ingredients, but still protecting those like really unique layered flavors.
Right.
And so we think there is a home for all of it, right?
Sure.
But just having a line that kind of meets people where they are,
yeah,
knowing that we are creating a kind of new platform in grocery.
Mm. How are retailers responding to this? And you've already alluded to having some great partners, but are you seeing certain regions or certain types of retailers that are more open to what you're up to? And are they giving you really good feedback?
Yeah, the feedback has been wonderful, and I think we're getting kind of good traction in different pockets. And so to me, it's a sign that those tea leaves that we thought were there were there.
Yeah.
So our launch partner was Whole Foods across the South, and you know the items are doing well there. But we've started already early this year to expand. So we'll be in some market of choice stores out west. We just expanded this week to Mariano's across Chicagoland.
Okay.
Working hard to get out east where we know we have a really strong West African immigrant population. Mm-hmm. But I've been really, you know, there's always some who will say no. And again, that's okay. We know we're not for everybody, but it's been exciting to see the momentum start to build. As more and more folks kind of get behind what we're trying to build. And I think part of that's driven directly from like this amazing outpouring of consumer feedback.
Yeah.
Really saying like, hey, we've been waiting for this. And I think sometimes markets, you know, that are underserved, you just don't always hear their voices. And so I think now that we're here, we're hearing that, like, feeling this like outpouring of love from folks who are saying like, hey, I've been waiting for something like this forever.
Yeah. What I find interesting is I am seeing a tremendous variety of innovation coming out of Chicago right now. And I don't know if it's because you guys have some really powerful incubators, entrepreneurial startup communities that are in there, but can you speak to that at all? Are you seeing like, are there seeds being dropped there that just that is making it drawing and attracting all of this good thinking and these juices, so to speak?
Yeah, so it's interesting because I think Chicago is a town that's probably long overdue for that notoriety.
Yeah.
Like, it is such an incredible food town, right? And that's not surprising that, you know, it's one of the larger restaurant hubs.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much great, like, ethnic food, but really all food.
Right.
Because of the diverseness of the city that's Chicago. And so, in some ways, it's surprising that this kind of startup hub didn't begin sooner.
Yeah.
But I think there is a really exciting and interesting ecosystem that's really developed here that extends well beyond restaurants. And as you think of it, you've got now big CPG, you've got you know, some of the major data providers, you've got Spin, you've got IRI.
Yeah.
You have some amazing kind of financial partners and incubators. You know, IO started in the hatchery.
Yes. Did it?
Yeah. And so,
Natalie, she's a powerhouse, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as you think of all of that coming together with the richness of what is already Chicago, I think the innovation is just starting to kind of steep out of that.
I think it's great. This is my not so secret is actually Chicago and, strangely enough, New Orleans are my two favorite cities in the United States. Now I haven't been everywhere.
We love New Orleans. We love it. Yes.
But there's something about Chicago being kind of like the every man's land. I don't know how to describe it, but it's like you can have your culture but it's accessible by everyone, where and you have all sorts of visual arts and architecture, and so you're right, it's like it's so great to finally see it moving into CPG, and even from a restaurant perspective, starting to get some traction from a notoriety standpoint, and not have it just be so entrenched in, you know, LA or New York. And so it's good to see that.
Absolutely.
Well, so you have a unique POV. I really do think you have a unique POV. Not everybody can come with the background that you have into a new brand. And I suspect that before, and maybe now even more, you have a lot of people coming to you, maybe even your husband, because I know that your husband is a serial entrepreneur, if I remember correctly. And I just wonder how, what kind of feedback are you giving people, or advice are you giving people? I know it seems like strange, like you haven't been around for not even a year yet, but I suspect people are coming to you and saying, how do I do this? What kind of guidance or what kind of advice are you giving people right now?
Yeah, it's a really good question. We actually were just having this conversation today because there has been kind of an influx of calls, especially as we start to build momentum.
Right.
And we're always so happy to take those, you know. Part of our responsibility is to pay it forward to the next group of entrepreneurs. And we were benefactors of that as we were building IO as well. So, I think there are different phases, right? And so some of the conversations we have are very much focused on just like, hey, I have this idea, how do I scale it? And how do I get a product commercially ready, right? Yeah. And then there are more questions around like, hey, I have a commercially ready product, but I'm trying to understand like how to scale it to retail, et cetera, you know? And so, I mean, I think we have a unique vantage point in that, you know, we have like, I've managed big brands. My husband has started companies from scratch before. And so to your point, we try to just like meet people where we are and help where we can. You know, we certainly don't have all the answers, but, we're always happy to share what we've learned along the way, not only through building IO, but through our past experiences as it's helpful to folks. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think one of the consistent themes as we talk to people is just one, like, just do it, right?
Thank you.
This is an idea that we were sitting on for a couple of years.
Really?
And kind of got to a point where we had to just take the leap. And so I think sometimes those first couple of steps are the hardest. And so I think the first piece is always just like, don't undersell yourself. And like, if you are passionate about something, like take the steps to move it forward. I think that's probably one of the most common themes. And then, you know, you can always ask for help along the way, but a good idea is just that if you don't take action to move it forward beyond that.
Yeah. I also want to say I have noticed women networking probably far more intensely in the last 12 to 18 months than I have seen before, and just being unafraid to ask for help. And I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is hard to start a business. Like, you know, like I've heard folks talk about like the emotional roller coaster that is entrepreneurship. And I think that's like very, very real. You know, like we have some days that are amazing and some that are much, much tougher. And so you need a kind of community of folks to get that, get through that, and help support you along the way. And so, I think I don't know exactly what is driving that shift that make people more open to it, but I think it's definitely a welcome change in that. You know, I've had so many great women help us along the way, just as we were struggling with things or wanted to get feedback on partners. They've been just really terrific and kind of helping us along, and we're committed to doing the same for the folks who are starting behind us.
That's awesome. Along that whole helping or standing for something good, I notice this, is it Moon Boy Project? Am I saying that correctly? Moon Boy?
Yep.
You've got a Moon Boy Project on your website, and then you also talk about efforts around the Food Recovery Network. Can you share what those initiatives are and why they're important to you and IO?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Moon Boy Project is something that we launched this past December. Mm-hmm. And so, one of our beliefs at IO has always been that good food can do real good. Mm-hmm. And it was always in our intention to build a brand that not only delivered really, really incredible food, but also kind of created economic advancement for the communities that inspired the brand. So Moon Boy means prosperity in my dad's tribe, Pele. And so it was really around creating a platform that could do good. And so, our signature or our first partner in that work is Girl Power Africa. That's an organization that was founded a few years back, really in service of women who were victims of civil war and are trying to get back in their feet in Liberia. And so our first kind of major project with them has been the conversion of about 15 acres of land into working farmland that will be used, the yield of that farmland will be used for those women to create businesses of their own, to really get back on their feet and create a new path for their lives.
Oh, wow.
And then, beyond my work with IO, I serve on the board of the Food Recovery Network. And that was really born out of, my interest in kind of changing or impacting all facets of our food system.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at kind of our waste rates, it's alarming. So
it
you've
is.
Got about 40% of our food that goes to waste. The food insecurity rates have increased by about more than 50% during the pandemic. So it's an issue that's not going away.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's just like a very solvable problem. If we have food we're throwing away, but people are going hungry, it just doesn't make sense. And so I do spend a decent amount of time figuring out kind of how we fix that through my work with Aaron. That work today is really centered on kind of college campus food recoveries. We know that group is poised to kind of change the trajectory for the future. So that's why we go after them. And they have the ability to, like, they're going into cafeterias and taking food that would otherwise be wasted and kind of getting it in the right mouths to really fight the major food insecurity issues that we have in the U.S. today.
Yeah, that's interesting in the college space, because I do know that they're kind of hidden, but there's an alarming number of students attending college that have significant food insecurity for various reasons. But I think that's great when you can start really close and you can have that circle be really tight right now and then have it go out concentrically. That's pretty great. When you talk about 40% of food production goes to waste, is that goes to waste, just for my knowledge, because I'm not sure I'm clear, is that before manufacturing or is that through the entire life cycle of the piece of produce or meat or what have you?
Yeah, that's the entire life cycle.
Okay.
And a lot of it is actually happening at home, just because we're not being as mindful as we can be about what's in our fridge and making sure that we're making the most out of what is there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, even on farms, right, there's a lot of product that just never makes, that might fall and is perfectly good, but just doesn't get caught. And so and you've actually seen a lot of organizations born out of that over the last few years. So take an organization like Imperfect Produce. Those founders actually were founders of Food Recovery Network, coincidentally.
Oh, really?
But all designed to kind of fix that issue at different points in the process. And, you know, at IO, we're really proud of like the work that we do with some of the ingredient selections we make, and that much of what we pick are the things that typically don't get used, right? Like the cassava leaves or the goose seeds, because that those are valuable nutrient dense ingredients that are so delicious and just under celebrated today.
Yes. Yeah. And the nutritional level to it. I mean, we see all sorts of brands using like remnant grain, elements. And, I know that PepsiCo at one point was trying to create a brand that was using, unused waste, and even Forager was creating chips out of their pressed, the remnants from their pressed juices. Feel like there's so much more that can be done there. For me, CPG is tough though, because part of CPG is maintaining consistency. And when we're talking about waste, there's a great deal of inconsistency. Do you guys talk about that?
Yeah, you know, I think it is a tough challenge to solve. I don't think we've solved it yet, but I think the reality is it has to be something that we solve and fix. Like, we can't continue to waste food at this rate.
Yeah.
You know, one, for like the people that it impacts, but well beyond just like food insecurity.
Right.
You know, that waste has detrimental impact on our environment. So, you know, we can't afford not to fix it. So, you know, I take that as a challenge to the industry to figure out like, how can we deliver that consistency, but still do it the right way? You know, there's tons of smart people in this industry. We will figure it out. We figured out, I think, harder things, right?
Right.
But that's the work to be done.
Awesome. Well, I love this conversation that we've had, and I don't know if there's anything else that you want to share about IO and the direction that it's going in, or about research. Do you feel like you want to share anything else right now?
Yeah, you know, when we set out to build IO, it was always with the intention of creating a platform brand. And so, you know, we're so thrilled to launch in frozen. You know, we wanted to make it easy, as easy as possible to experience these flavors. But we are just getting started, so really excited to see this platform evolve over time and enter new spaces as we bring these like incredible ingredients to a broader market.
Yeah, I think what will be interesting to see what happens is, you know, I think frozen is seeing, of course, a resurgence of interest, particularly because of the pandemic. And it will be interesting to see what happens on the shelves in the next 12 to 18 months, because there's literally only so much space. So as new brands like yours enter, what kind of will start to phase out? And I will be very interested to see how that shakes out, because I see certain categories in frozen as having a disproportionate footprint in frozen section. And I wonder if that's going to be mostly in the treats section. I wonder if that's going to change or not. I hope so. because I love frozen treats. Don't get me wrong, but I think that bringing more and more nutrition through a variety of products like yours is really, really the future of, where we can be going. So thank you for sharing that. And frozen is its own topic, right? There's so much to be said about that whole space and the footprint.
Well, I feel like frozen's been a bit of a sleeper category. Like if you look at the longitudinal data, let's say over the last few years, it's actually steadily grown as these more kind of premium entrants come into this space. Mm-hmm. I think you're spot on around like what spaces will be next to be disrupted in frozen. Mm-hmm. But there are some instances where frozen has actually outpaced even the refrigerated perimeter. As you've got all these interesting brands coming into the space. I think the space that's going to be really interesting to watch over the next year is actually center of store.
Yeah.
As you know, the dated brands kind of got new life over the pandemic as people were coming back into the center. And so I think there's just like really interesting things. Like I worked on Betty Crocker for a while at, at General Mills and seeing kind of the innovation coming to baking and categories like beans. Like I think that resurgence is really interesting as well. So it'll be a fun 2021 to see at the end of the year kind of where we land and and what's in the mix.
I was just having this conversation with somebody. This was about a month ago, and they said, well, what do you think is going to happen, you know, in 2021? And I said, based off of the conversations I've been having in the last 6 to 12 months and the work that we ourselves have been doing, I think consumers' brains are going to do double, triple flips by the end of summer. The amount of innovation, all of the, you know, redirecting all of these marketing allocations, and figuring out how to take care of supply chain and all, everything had to be rejiggered. And so it kind of reinvigorated the innovation process in so many organizations that you're right. I mean, Betty Crocker, which is Betty Crocker for an example, is prime for the pump for the situation that we're in right now. The whole premise was making baking easy. That was how they came out. So why wouldn't they double down on that and explode, right? So it'll be, I think that's a very interesting center of store, but I think brands across the spectrum, even outside of food and beverage, I think people are going to be shocked at product innovation that comes out and the variety. I'm not seeing a lot of the same. I'm literally seeing brands like yours coming out over and over, different categories and spaces. So that'll be fun. Wow.
Yeah, I guess when we were disrupted to our core, right, last March, we said, like, let's shake it all up. Let's start fresh.
So. Yeah, it's like an Etch-a-Sketch, you know? Start from scratch. Well, I thank you for sharing all of that. I have a last few questions I always like to ask everybody when they come on here. And first of all, I wonder, is there some sort of interesting fact either about your past work experience, or maybe it's just about the cuisine that you're bringing to the market, some sort of interesting, I like to call it cocktail tidbit, something I might tell my friends over a cocktail.
So I think one interesting factoid or like fun piece of cocktail conversation is Jollof, which is one of our SKUs, is actually like one of the most greatly debated items in that whole West African diaspora. So while there is generally love and excitement across all countries, the great debate over Jollof and what country makes the best is actually a source of great tension. So I would encourage you to spend like 5 minutes doing like hashtag Jollof wars. That is a thing. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised or at least entertained for a few minutes by like this like friendly banter that can get pretty heated pretty quickly.
Sounds like Americans and our ribs, like particularly.
I think it's worse. I mean, people are pretty heated.
Okay, spell that for us, for those that don't know how to spell it, so we can go look that up.
Yeah, so just do hashtag Jollof wars, W-A-R-S.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay. Are there any women leaders or rising stars that are out there that you'd like to either acknowledge or just give some visibility to simply for what they're doing? It doesn't have to even be in this industry. It could be anywhere.
Oh, man. I think there's a ton. I think a few that I'm personally incredibly appreciative for are Denise Woodard at Partake. I think she's doing some amazing things, and she's been just such a great support for us as we're on our journey, just being a bit ahead of us, a great resource to bounce things off of. Karuna Raul, who I know connected us, is just doing really great things. I'm excited to see Nature's Fine hit the market this year. I think they're going to be big disruptors in plant-based, and I'm so excited to see what they're doing. Shayna Harris and Norma Cardilla are doing some awesome things on the Capitol side, which I know has historically been a big barrier to see more of these incredible businesses ever kind of meet the light of day. And so with their supply chain Capitol, I'm super excited to see what they'll do. And Diane, I just appreciate women like you who are like creating a platform for strong women to be highlighted and featured.
Thank you.
Really inspire folks.
Thank you. That's generous. I appreciate that. Thank you. You've already talked about this a little bit, and you've already covered it, I think, you know, kind of what brands or trends you've got your eye on, but it sounds like center of store is where you've got your eye on right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think to your point, like, this has been such an interesting year. I think it will be hard for the market not to respond across the store. I think the center, is primed to be most disrupted, but I think there are a lot of spaces just in kind of food tech that it will be interesting to see what happens over the next year. So, you know, I think one of the most obvious spaces that I think jury's still out and kind of what it looks like in 5 years is plant-based market and kind of how that evolves and continues to make headway. It's certainly not going anywhere. But I think just food tech is a space that I'm really interested in. And I think as you see more of that type of innovation come to the market, I think it's really going to disrupt how we think about food and consume food overall.
Yeah, I'm really hopeful that food tech will have the ability. I spoke with Rebellious, Christy Legale over at Rebellious. I don't know if you know her, about using food tech to kind of lower that price barrier so that more people can get into healthier eating. Because right now, pretty much across the board, eating inexpensive means mostly eating not well. And that's not across the board true, but very common. So that's what I'm most excited about from a food tech standpoint. I'm also interested in what will happen with grocery stores in general and how they're going to change based off of how we'll see how consumer trends shift here in the next 12 to 18 months, but I suspect the footprint of the store is going to change pretty dramatically, and that will be very interesting to watch.
Yeah, and I think even pre-pandemic, you started to see kind of new formats start to come to market.
Yeah.
I think that's only going to be more accelerated during kind of post-pandemic as consumers are just looking for a different experience when you're in the store.
Especially since it's pretty much the only place that you can go to on a regular basis right now. You kind of want a little bit more. How are you keeping yourself sane these days? You're at Spins, you're starting a new job, you've got two kids at home, and you have a husband that's a serial entrepreneur. There is no downtime, I'm guessing, in the household.
Yeah, not a lot of downtime, but it's so fun. So you know, we have so much passion for what we're trying to build, and so I'm sure at some point we'll have to figure something out. But like at this point, we're all like all in on IO.
That's awesome.
We wanna see this platform succeed. And you know, my husband often jokes, he's like, I don't get why people hop on calls and say Happy Friday. He's like, it's just another day. Like, we have every day to look forward to.
Yes.
And so, we love what we're doing right now. And so, for better or for worse, like, that has become our downtime. You know,
yes, I understand that.
Yesterday, we took our girls out for a fun, like, afternoon event, which was actually, like, going to Mariano's and showing them the product that had just hit the shelves. And they were so, so thrilled and excited. Like, our seven-year-old looked at me and said, Mommy, am I a part of this? And I was like, oh, absolutely, you're a part of this.
Oh, my goodness.
Some of those, like, 5 a.m. plant runs and
all
that good stuff.
Oh, yes.
So it has truly become kind of a family affair at this point. So I'm sure we'll get some downtime at some point, but not quite yet.
You'll find it eventually. I know. Yeah, our kids are the same way when they see something that we've worked on and strutting around with it in the house or whatever. Look, this is what dad worked on, or this is what mom worked on.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty cool.
And before we go, if people wanted to reach out to you and connect with you, is LinkedIn the best way to do it, or do you have a preferred method?
Yeah, LinkedIn is absolutely fine. Otherwise, Great. Email is fine as well. It's easypertit@io-foods.com.
Excellent. Well, I thank you so much for your time today. I know we could probably talk more, but I am grateful for the time that we've had. And thank you for sharing about what's happening. We'll definitely be watching what happens with IO, and can't wait for it to come to Seattle so that I can give it a try. Do you have any idea when that might be?
I'm hoping later this year, fingers crossed. So we're working our way in that direction, but not in Seattle just quite yet, but hopefully soon.
Well, if you need a heavy, just let me know.
Yes.
let me know who to talk to. I can pull a little Chicago attitude and go and visit some people if I need to.
Love it. It always helps to know some people. So I will keep that in mind.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Diane. I appreciate it.
Yeah. This episode is sponsored by Retail Voodoo, a creative marketing firm specializing in growing, fixing, and reinventing brands in the food, beverage, wellness, and fitness industries. If your Naturals brand is in need of positioning, package design, or marketing activation, we're here to help. You can find more information at retail-voodoo.com. And so there you go. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to this channel and share with your network. Until next time, be well and do gooder.